The Smith family were driving home from church one Sunday, discussing the service. The service today was awful, said Mrs. Smith. I couldn't hear what was being said or sung, although I have a feeling that may have been a mercy. And when I opened my hymn book, half of the pages were missing. I had no idea what to sing when. The church was freezing, said Mr. Smith. I cannot feel my toes anymore. Youth group was no fun at all, said their son. We had one old book to look at, and no one had planned any games. And suddenly the little girl of the family piped up from the back seat of the car. You've got to admit, though, she said, it's a pretty good show for only 50p. Now, I hope you'll agree with me that the Smith family were unlikely to have been returning from a St. Nick's service. We all have good services and not so good service, but I think that would not be an accurate reflection on one of our services at St. Nick's. And even more important than that, I'm not for a minute trying to suggest that people at St. Nick's put 50p a week into the collection box at the back and consider that that's it for their giving. But the little girl's comment does make the point that when it comes to giving to a church, there is a sense in which what you give is what you get. In other words, the ministry of the church is almost entirely funded by the giving of the congregation. I'm not sure people always realise this, and certainly when I was a little boy, and I did put 50p each week into the collection bag that I went to a little rural church. The collection bag went round in the hymn. Some of you would have been, and my mum, it wasn't really my 50p. My mum would give it to me. I could think of all sorts of things to do with this 50p, but I had to put it in the collection bag as it went round. And I suppose I thought that my 50p just went to God somehow. Why he needed it, I didn't know. Lots more ideas, things that I could do with it, but it went to God. And I guess someone else paid for the running of the church. But of course, there is no someone else. There's no big fund in government, certainly not in the Church of England, or anywhere else that pays for a church. It's the next church. Actually, here at St. Nick's Church, we are fortunate enough. There is one local trust that makes an annual grant of £25,000, which is a lot, for our building to cover some of its upkeep. It doesn't in any way cover all of it. But apart from that, and then we have some income from the letting of our hall and buildings, aside from that, the ministry of this church is funded almost entirely by the giving of the congregation. By my giving and your giving. And perhaps if I can just put it as starkly as possible, just kind of focus it, our income, the income of St. Nick's Church, our income is dependent on your incomes. Our income is dependent on your incomes. And that's a big challenge to us. It's a challenge to us every year as we set our budgets and plan our ministry. And it's a particular challenge this year. And if you turn to the back of the giving leaflet, if you've got it near you, in the middle of the back page is a section, the challenge we face. And if you look to the bottom of the first paragraph there, you will see that we have a deficit of £60,000 in 2019. A lot of money. And that deficit is in part due to some cost increases, but most of it, £48,000, is because of changes in the circumstances of a small number of significant givers. Either their circumstances have changed because their incomes have changed, or they've moved away from Newbury and St. Nick's. James Lancaster, our treasurer, you know James, is going to say a little bit more about this next week. As far as we can tell, there's nothing concerning about this. Sometimes if the income of the church sort of drops, you think, well, what's going on? It's kind of cause for concern. As far as we can see, there's nothing concerning about this. People's incomes have changed, or they've moved, and so our income has changed, and we face a challenge. That's the biggest challenge we face in the 8 years since I've been here. So, to our passage. Put your booklet down and turn to 1 Chronicles 29. Because in that passage, in this passage. The people of Israel were facing a big challenge. They were going to build a temple, which, I don't know if you remember, I take it you haven't built a temple ever, but should you ever choose to, it is a very expensive thing to do. And in our reading, we find King David supervising the fundraising for it. And the money was going to come from God's people. So the passage that Beth read to us so well starts off with David giving a speech, and then the leaders and then the people respond in giving, and then David prays. He praises God for his generosity. And I want to look at three things about giving from this passage, whether that's the building of a temple, if you ever want to do that, or the ministry of a church. So three things, and the first is the longest. It's this: the significance of the task. The significance of the task. Have a look at verse 1. King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen," remember, God had chosen Solomon to build the temple, not David, "is young and inexperienced." Some of you are dads here. Yeah. Some of you have, you've got sons. Some of you have young sons. Some of you have old sons. I should think every dad, for all time, whatever age their son is, he's got older sons, thinks their sons are young and inexperienced. That's just default dad setting. Yep, that's just the way it is. My dad thinks I'm young and silly and inexperienced. But that's what David thought about Solomon, young and inexperienced. But the task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. The task is great. Why so great to build this temple? I guess it's of great importance to build a temple, of great difficulty. It's not an easy task, and of great potential to have the temple of God in your city. What potential? And so this is a great task, because this palatial structure is not for men and women, but for the Lord God. David begins by giving the people a vision of the significance of the task ahead of them if they want to build a temple. This would be a really great verse to use at the beginning of a church building project. Imagine our church hall got burnt down. Just happened from time to time. Well, not in this, it happens in, not that this is never burnt down, but in, you know, occasionally you hear of churches or church buildings get burnt down and we have to rebuild it. Or perhaps we had some grand plans to do something. We wanted to put a second floor in, or whatever it was. And we unveiled the plans, and there at the top of them, you might imagine, would be this verse. This task is great, because this palatial structure is not for men and women, but for the Lord God. Great verse for a building project. But it's also a very relevant verse for us to use today when we're thinking about the day-to-day ministry of our church here at St. Nick's, of your church. Because day after day at St. Nick's, we are involved in building. In fact, if you look at page 3 of the booklet, our given booklet, it tells you how much it costs per day to do this building work. Page 3, it says at the top, at £1,211 per day for this work of building. Here at St. Nick's, we are building the temple of God, because we are the temple of God. Paul says in the New Testament, you are the temple of God. Peter says you are like living stones being built into a spiritual house, the temple we're building here at St. Nick's. Living stone upon living stone, building the temple of God. And just like David, we have laid out a vision of what we want our building to look like. We said that all we want to do is to be visible, to be noticed, just like a temple would be, to make a difference in our town, just like the temple. We're not talking about a physical building, we are talking about a spiritual temple. We want to be visible, we want to be good news in Newbury. We want to bring good news to Newbury. And just a small but a significant example of that is the therapy garden at West Berkshire Hospital. I don't know if some of you have been to it. You've heard about it from the front. If the next time you go to West Berkshire Hospital, I hope you don't have many opportunities to go there, but should you go, go into the therapy garden. Designed, maintained by the team of volunteers from St. Nick's. It came from our initiative when we launched a vision document back in 2012, and if you don't know, it recently won a national award. It won the Green Space Award in the Sustainable Health and Care Awards in Birmingham. And Andy Moore, who's part of it, sent me the copy of the Newbury Weekly News article. You might have seen this a couple of months ago. Therapy Garden, Western Wings, a national award, a really prestigious award, and it recognises in the Newbury Weekly News the hard work of the team of volunteers from St Nicholas Church. Good news in Newbury. And that's not the whole of our vision, but it's a part to be good news in Newbury, to be seen to be good news, so that we can bring good news. If you're here a few weeks ago, you will have heard me talk about CAP, Christians Against Poverty, and our plans to set up a CAP debt centre in partnership with the Bridge Church. And the plan is to launch that over the summer. We're on schedule, on target, and listen out for more news and details about that. If you know anything about the work of Christians Against Poverty, it is incredibly inspirational, and it will be inspirational for us as a church to be involved in it, and a blessing to our town. If you came to our church prayer meeting just this last month, in February, then you would have heard there Ellen and Amber talk about the plans for Daybreak that meets here, the Mums and Toddlers group, and in their words, to refurbish, sounds like a building, to refurbish that ministry so that it's more a part of our ministry once again and an effective outreach to the town. If you were here two Tuesday evenings ago, and some of you were, I know, you would have seen 120 people here, gathered from St Nick's and churches in Newbury and the local area and some way beyond for an evening of training on Christian leadership. We're becoming a great venue for these kind of events because of our really brilliant facilities. People love using this place. And as we do that, we serve, not just ourselves, but we serve the wider church. If you were here last Tuesday morning, if you were in church last Tuesday morning, you would have seen over 30 women gathered together for a Bible study course. They're mainly young mums, they're all looking a bit bleary-eyed, and they're doing this term, just to kind of really stretch them out of their bleary-eyedness, a Bible overview series. And last Tuesday they had to meet in the church because the Soroptimists were in here as part of the Newbury Pancake celebration. Soroptimists are like the SAS of women's organisations. Ever come across them? They're terrifying. But they were terrifying. But they were running an incredibly successful pancake thing as part of the Newbury Pancake celebrations. Many people came. You might have seen my photo in the Newbury Weekly News this week. The St Nick's team won a prize on the Pancake Day celebrations. If you came here on Wednesday, every Wednesday, you will see the St Nicholas Fellowship, which has grown wonderfully over about the last year and a half under new leadership, and is such a blessing to some of the older and more vulnerable people here in our community. Next week, I have a meeting with Marcia, lots of meetings with Marcia actually, but on our agenda next week is the teaching programme for our third holiday club. Here at St Nick's this coming summer. What an exciting outreach that has become. Such a sort of fixture in our calendar so soon. And also a kind of unexpected blessing to our church community. I could go on and talk about different things here at St Nick's for a long time. We're far from perfect at St Nick's. And I'm well aware of that. There's so much that we don't quite do right. There's so much still to do. There's so much untapped potential. But we're building a temple of living stones. And we want it to be visible. Good news in Newbury. And the task is great. Because this palatial structure is for the Lord God. So David, in Jerusalem, lists some of the enormous quantities of gold and silver, Beth read it, that he is personally giving for the building. He gives quite a lot of all sorts of different jewels and then masses of gold and masses of silver. And then he says, verse 5, who is willing to consecrate themselves today to the Lord? Who is willing to consecrate themselves today to the Lord? And it's interesting that it's an appeal for money. Wants money. gold or silver or precious things. But the question is not who will consecrate their money, but who will consecrate themselves. In the giving of their money, the Israelites were committing themselves to the building of this temple and the work of God. Giving to your church is not paying for what you get. Giving to your church is more personal. It is an act of consecration to God, and it is a commitment of yourself to the task of building the temple of God in this place. And when we have our Giving Sundays once a year, we ask people to review their commitment, their financial commitment. But as they do that, it's an opportunity to renew your personal commitment as you give. As you say, this is my temple, if you like. I'm involved in building it. And if I can be just a little bit specific for a moment. And as I say this, I just want to remind you, or if you didn't know this, I don't know who gives what here at St Nick's. There's only two people who know that. Josh's mum, Shalini, she's our stewardship secretary, and our financial controller, because she sees the bank statements coming in. No one else knows. So I'll just say that. But I want to be a little bit specific. We're asking everyone to review their giving this year. Please do. We have a big challenge, £32,000 that we want to raise our giving by this year. But we're hoping that with such a big challenge, that a significant part of that could be met by new givers. So blessed here at St Nick's, to new people. And when you join church, there's a kind of natural process where sort of different stages along the way. To begin with, when you join a church, you ask, does this church meet my needs? That's a good question to ask, the right question to ask. Does this work for me? Yep. And then after a bit, if you come along, you decide to commit. And you move from asking, not does this church meet my needs, but how can I share in the needs of this church? And then a bit further along the line, you move from I commit to I belong. And you say, this church is my church. These people, strange as they are my church family. It's not perfect. You might still feel quite new. In a church like St Nick's, it can take a long time to really feel you belong. But somewhere along this process, from I come along to I commit to I belong, you start to give. And it becomes personal. Because you join in with this great building project that we're involved in here at St Nick's. A temple built of living stones. And the task is great. Because this palatial structure is not for men and women, but for the Lord God. That's the significance of the task. My longest thing I wanted to say this evening. Secondly, the source of our gifts. After the people have given, David praises God. He has this wonderful prayer in verses 10 through to 13. And he acknowledges that God is the source of everything. And he just goes through listing everything, if you like, in life. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, glory, majesty. Everything is yours. The kingdom too. Wealth and honor there from you. Strength and power there in your hands. And then verse 14. This is a famous verse, really. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Giving is not like tipping God. So you know when you go to a hotel and the doorman helps you with your luggage and ups your room, and then he sort of stands around waiting and gives a little sort of cough and you think, oh right, I need to tip you. You kind of rummage around in your pockets waiting for some cash. Actually, I've never been to a hotel like that. We've seen it in the films, so I assume it must have happened somewhere, okay? But we've all seen it. Sometimes our giving feels like tipping God. So at the end of the service, or on Giving Sundays, once a year, there is God in this little area of our life, and he's coughing slightly. And you think, oh yeah, I should give you something, and then you'll go away from this corner of my life till next year. And you get to decide, shall I be generous or not? Tipping is all about the generosity of me. How generous shall I be this time? But giving is all about the generosity of God. He is the one who's been generous, not us. Everything we have is from him. Everything comes from you. He's given you only what comes from your hand. He's the source of all our gifts, our life, our family, our particular strengths that enable us to work, to earn, to have an income. And on top of all that is good in our life, and on top of that, he has given us his only son to die for us and his spirit to fill us. Every day is a gift from him. Every pound is his. And we find it so hard to think that way. I don't know if you've ever bought a bag of sweets for a young child. So just imagine it with me, just in case you never have. You're in the newsagents, or in the sweet aisle at Wilko's. If you've got young children, you walk through that aisle very quickly, or you avoid it altogether. It's a great aisle, but not one to linger in. But you decide to be generous this time, and you're going to buy, I'm going to buy a bag of sweets. And instantly, the naughtiest little monster turns into a charming angel. All smiles and giggles. And they're so well, Rosie, you know that. Yeah. And until that is, the deed is done. The deal. And you hand over the sweets. And suddenly, grubby little fingers grip tightly onto a bag that's so large they can't even get their little hands around it, can barely hold it. And what was 2 seconds ago yours is now definitely theirs. And if you have the audacity to ask for one sweet, there is all sorts of puffing and their sticky little fingers rummage around in the bag to find the mangiest sweet possible. Half a cola bottle has been dropped on the floor and then it's kind of dumped into your hands grudgingly. It's so hard to give. We're like little children. Everything, says David, comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. Some of us have a lot, and we are able to give more. In fact, we're able to give proportionally more. Some of us have a little, and we are able to give less. But whatever we give, we are only giving back to God what's come from him. The significance of the task, the source of our gifts. And then finally, the secret of giving. And by that I mean not a kind of secret, there's a kind of magic formula that suddenly makes giving easy. But the hidden secret of Christian giving is that giving can be a joy. That is what giving is throughout this passage. This is a joyful, happy passage. Verse 9, the people rejoice. David rejoices at the heartfelt, thankful, joyful giving. David in his prayer is full of joy. Verse 17, I've seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. We're going to look at that again next week. We're looking at this passage a second time next week. There's so much in it about giving to be said. This is no kind of grudging handing over of the cash, a sort of guilt trip or arm twisted. Presumably David could have set a tax for this temple building. Plenty of rulers over the ages have set taxes to finance great building projects. Perfectly reasonable thing to do, but he doesn't set a tax because he wants this giving to be from the heart. And that's what makes it so wonderful when it does come. We often talk in churches about tithing, giving 10% of our incomes away. And it's a good principle, but it's not a rule. And it is certainly not a God tax. And we're not to think, I must give my tithe and feel God or the church treasurer kind of twisting our arm at the tax that it is to be a Christian. The New Testament specifically says, don't give reluctantly or under compulsion. On the contrary, God loves a cheerful giver. I often ask myself on a Sunday, how joyful is our worship? Come together to worship. How joyful is our worship? I want to be a part of a joyful church. And we know that sometimes it kind of comes together and sometimes it doesn't come together. That's just the way churches are. There are lots of obvious and visible things that we can do to enable our joyful worship. The band can rehearse like they did earlier this evening, so that they can lead us and enable us to join in confidently. We can plan the services carefully, choose the right songs. We can work at the back on the PA and the projection. And we can do the spiritual work of praying for God's Spirit to come and inspire us and fill us and inhabit our worship. And all these things are good and important. They sort of come together, feed into what makes up joyful worship. But there's something else which you can never plan, and we won't see. And that is you and me sitting down at home with a giving leaflet and filling it out, renewing our commitment, starting to give, changing what we give, and doing so joyfully from the heart. And that will, in ways that we can never pinpoint or trace, but that will trickle down to when we come together on a Sunday to joyfully worship God together. It will make us a more joyful church. Praise God, we are a joyful church. It will make us even more joyful because we will have grasped the significance of the task in which we're all involved in building the temple of God. And we have personally committed ourselves to this project, to this family. And we will have acknowledged that God is the source of all our gifts. And we will have opened up our hands and given back to Him. Let's pray together. So Lord, we pray, do this work in some ways this secret area of our lives that few people see, but you see, Lord. We earnestly desire that you would work in every corner. And we pray as we think about giving tonight and next week, save us from guilt, fill us with grace, bring us joy in every part. In Jesus' name, Amen.